Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Jeremy, there was an interesting question on our Facebook, and actually two different ones. And I appreciate having content given to me, because the last thing I want to do is come up with show ideas. So anybody who wants to bring up show ideas, that's awesome.
Indeed.
I will gladly steal them. But there were two on here, and there were two questions. First of all, do you have any Disney flops that you love? And then what is your favorite under the radar Disney movie? And so flops, I think, first of all, we have to figure out how we want to define flop, because the example given was, this was actually Chris on Facebook, and he said, for my wife and I, Tron Legacy is top notch. And yeah, Tron Legacy is one that I think most people, or you know what, I shouldn't put this on anybody else, but I'll definitely put it on me. I interpret Tron Legacy as a box office, as a flop, right? It's a Disney flop, but at the box office, it was budgeted at $170 million, and domestic, it made $172 million. Worldwide, overall, it took in $400 million. So that's not actually a flop, right? But it's still one that we would consider to be a flop.
Yeah, box office is a bad, I think, metric for flop. It was poorly received. You know, like, I think Tron Legacy is not a good movie based on plot. It's very confused about what it is plot-wise, but man, it's a spectacle.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is, yes. It is gorgeous. It is everything that if they were making Tron today, the original Tron, if they were making that movie today, it would be Tron Legacy. It is everything that Tron wanted to be back in the 80s.
Except without a bunch of CG faces and stuff. But
right.
Other than that, yes, it would be. So, but here's the other side of that. Tron Legacy was a flop critically, because Rotten Tomatoes, which as we all know is gospel,
the arbiter,
and how we should rate every movie. If Rotten Tomatoes tells me it's bad, I should hate it. Gave Tron Legacy, it's sitting at 51%, critics 63%, audience. But you know, looking at the critic, because the critics are what kind of I think personally what set the tone for a movie.
Yeah. Well, and
right.
Here's my thing. I think it is really difficult to like really enumerate what is a flop. It is really hard to say like definitively this movie is a flop. I think we're going to kind of have to just go with what we feel like was a flop. I think we have mostly a pretty good feeling for movies that were well received and movies that were not well received. And just kind of go with that, because I think we can definitely get more into the weeds than we ever would need to in trying to, you know, like if I say, you know, I love Tron Legacy, and you say, well, Tron Legacy wasn't a flop, it made a lot of money. And I say, you know, like it's really easy to get into the weeds on some of this stuff where, like, you know, obviously if I said, I love The Lion King, that movie really flopped. It's like, well, no, it didn't. The Lion King was universally beloved.
That's obviously not a flop.
But I think we can just kind of, it would be a lot better to just kind of go with what feels like a flop. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't want to spend 10 minutes debating whether or not a movie's a flop before we talk about like why we love
it. That's fair. So can I just have the easy cheat and just say Hocus Pocus? What, dude? Hocus Pocus, 34% critics.
My wife loves that movie.
Is that code for I don't love that movie?
I do not love that movie.
Do you like that movie?
I can watch it once a year. It's on our list of Halloween movies we watch, and I can definitely watch Hocus Pocus yearly.
Okay, so I think that that's probably a fair assessment, and I don't think that Hocus Pocus would be my flop movie, but in looking at these, you know, I was kind of surprised to see Hocus Pocus where it was given, and I think that that's a lot of that has to do with that's become a cult classic,
mm-hmm.
and cult classics a lot of the time are pretty poorly received initially.
I think that's part of what makes it a cult classic.
Kind of the definition of becoming a cult classic.
Does awful at the box office. Like Clue. Clue is yes. a movie that did horribly at the box office, but found a huge following on home video and on TV, and is now like a very beloved movie. One of my favorites, actually. And I think, yeah, that's kind of part of being a cult classic is you have to do really badly in theaters.
You have to do really badly and then just really pick it up way after the fact.
And
so,
I will gladly admit that I am in the minority with the Hocus Pocus. Like I fully get that. But yeah, I do not look forward to watching that.
Yeah, I think holiday movies are very easy to put into this because, you know, like yeah. you have Hocus Pocus. For us, every Christmas, we have to watch I'll Be Home for Christmas. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Jessica Biel.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, you know, is currently pretty poorly rated. And it's one of those weird things where I'm like, I don't know that I would consider that to be a good movie, but it's a movie that I have a fondness for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. Like, movies you love are not always good movies.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
I think. And so it's weird to me that you know, some of these holiday movies kind of fall into that area. And I'll Be Home for Christmas is, you know, it's a by the numbers sort of movie and a fun, but I feel like, you know, it's fun to watch, and the performances make that a decent movie to me, right?
Hmm.
But clearly the audience and tomato and what scares me is I'm like, well, I watch it this Christmas and you know, in the back of my head be thinking, well, this is a garbage movie because Rotten Tomatoes told me so. And well, I'd be unable to enjoy I'll Be Home for Christmas because if I did, that would be horrible. So I'm not going to do that. But Jeremy, neither of those is my movie. That's just something I wanted to talk about.
Oh.
Because my movie is Kazam.
Really?
No, I'm totally messing with you. I was
close to hanging up this call. I'm not going to sit here while you defend Kazam.
While I try to convince you that Shaq... Now, come on, man. Shaq rapping, is it really that bad, Jeremy? Is it that bad? Yes, it's that bad. And now somebody just stopped listening to us because we just dissed their favorite movie of all time, which is like honestly more than anything Kazam. I just wanted to put out there because I didn't really realize that's a Disney movie, and I think it's, you know, it's a Touchstone movie, right?
Right.
Which is a Disney yeah. movie.
I mean, and if we get into like Disney, what does Disney own? Disney owns Miramax, and then that makes Pulp Fiction a Disney movie.
And now we have access to the entire Fox back
right.
catalog.
Yeah. The Simpsons, you know, movie is my favorite under the radar Disney movie.
There you go, right? Yeah, yeah. Who ever saw that one coming as my Disney pick? But okay, so my legit flop movie, and when I define this as a flop, I'm going to have to define. I chose to define flop as Rotten Tomatoes because I would have never defined this as a flop, but apparently it was The Mighty Ducks. 23% critics on Rotten Tomatoes. And that's with 30 critics. You know, like sometimes you see that and it's like two critics who actually did it. And so you're like, okay, well, that's not enough to get anything. But 30 critics and a 23% Rotten Tomatoes. That movie deserves so much. And it had, there were three of them. So clearly Disney was making, so by those metrics, I don't think that's a flop. But then by Rotten Tomatoes, I have to assume that's a flop. And I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get done talking and I'm going, and I'll go watch that movie again.
Yeah. Well, it's a good feel good sports movie.
Exactly. It's a, you know, with the kids that just can't make it happen and the coach that doesn't care about them and, you know, the coach gets to come around by mm-hmm. the end and they find out that the coach is a broken person and, you know, there are characters who have growth throughout that film.
It hits all the beats, man.
Yeah. So I don't, like, I almost feel like I'm cheating to pick that movie, but by the numbers, that's a flop.
Mm-hmm. So mine, I feel like is even more fraught because I don't know. I can't say because I was way too young to pay attention to this stuff when this movie came out. But I feel like how it's talked about to, or as little as it's talked about today, that it's kind of a flop. But Emperor's New Groove is one of my favorite Disney movies ever. And I feel like it just kind of came out, had a little bit of a following when it first came out, and then it just like fizzled. And no one really ever references it or talks about it, and like it's so good.
So here's the funny thing. I made a couple of different lists, okay? And Emperor's New Groove fit very comfortably on my under the radar list. And I almost felt wrong giving it that because, as you said, it's rated so high.
Yeah.
But I definitely think it's under the radar. But at the same time, I mean, you're not wrong. It did kind of just flop. It didn't really like flop hard or anything, but it kind of went under the radar. And like you said, kind of maybe got lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, box office, not a great thing to go for, but, you know, had a $100 million budget and only took in $169 million worldwide. So, again, if Tron Legacy, I would say that Tron Legacy was generally understood to be a flop. Tron Legacy is a flop, and that one brought in over $200 million over what mm-hmm. its budget was, then a movie that doesn't even bring in $70 million over budget should be it's such a weird thing to determine what is a flop. So
yeah.
I can make the argument either way on that one, but I will give you that if that's what you interpret. I'm not gonna say no, Jeremy, that's not a flop.
I just love that movie and I wish it was more well received and well loved.
Come on, Jeremy, pick Home on the Range. You know you want to.
So what about Hidden Gems? Now, I think this is going to go way... I mean, Hidden Gems is a much more broad topic, and I have more than just one hidden gem that I really love.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess, like, the biggest hidden gem, I think, for me, that Disney made that, again, so this is a movie that is very quoted, but I don't think people watch it nearly as much as it's quoted. And that's Cool Runnings.
Oh my gosh, that was okay. So that is the first one on my list because I wanted, but here's the thing. The reason why it's on my list is because I wanted to ask you, is that a hidden gem?
I think it is. I think if you asked everybody who quotes that movie if they have watched it in the last 5 years, I don't think anybody...
Oh, I have. Last five, easy.
I don't think anybody watches that movie. I think everybody knows Feel the Rhythm, Feel the Rhyme, but nobody watches it. And so I do. I think Cool Runnings is a hidden gem as a movie, as a quoted thing. It is certainly not. But I think as a film, it is.
I mean, you don't regularly talk to people and say, "Hey, Sanka, you dead man.
You dead man." Man, John Candy. Like, I could watch that guy eat a bowl of cereal. I love John Candy so much.
I mean, but yeah. So if Cool Runnings and I'm not saying that it doesn't, but that was one that I saw on multiple, because I was like, what is a hidden gem? Because I have trouble picking a hidden gem. And I saw that on multiple lists, and I'm like, is that a hidden gem? But, you know, I asked Nancy about it as well, and she's like, yeah. She said, I don't think I had heard of that movie, you know, before we started dating or after we were, you know, whenever we watched Cool Runnings together.
Right.
She said, I think you hang out with a lot of people who happen to know what it is.
Right.
But I don't think that in general it's very well known, which...
And she probably knew the quotes from it.
Yeah. Yeah, she'd probably heard
those. That's what I'm saying. I think that movie feels a lot more like it is a well-known film, but it's not in reality.
Which, if it's not, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Cool Runnings...
It's a shame.
It's on... Isn't it on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I think
so. I'm pretty sure it's on Disney Plus. So go and watch Cool Running. And if you're not going to watch it on Disney Plus, find some way to watch it. I'm sure there are plenty of opportunities, you know, go get it on Vudu or, you know, YouTube Movies or however you need to go and get it. Go get it. Go watch Cool Runnings. You're going to have a great time.
Just acquire it somehow.
Yeah. I didn't say that. You said that. So since you've got Cool Runnings and I'm good with that, Cool Runnings needs to come out there. Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Never seen it.
Oh my gosh. It is such a great movie. It is Angela Lansbury in this, you know, and it's one of those kind of like Mary Poppins or something like that, where you have the live action mixed with the animation.
Mm.
And I think it's one of those movies where even though you haven't seen the movie, like you've heard music from the movie and things like that, especially, you know, if you're into Disney stuff.
That's probably true. I'd probably recognize parts of it.
Right, exactly. And you've probably seen sections of it before. But yeah, I think it's a great movie. I remember watching it multiple times as a kid, and I've watched it as an adult as well. And I feel like it's not one of those where I watch it again and I'm like, holy cow, did you really like that movie? That was horrible. and I have movies that are like that, but like The Age of Not Believing is a song, and it's probably one that you're not going to know like right now, but it's one if you went and listened to. Or like Portobello Road. Again, those are like you've
probably
heard them.
Probably might recognize the tune, do not recognize
yes.
the title.
Yeah, that's the thing though. I recognize the title because I've heard them so many times.
Right.
But you would probably recognize them if you heard the tune. But yeah, it's a very, very good movie. And it's like World War II setting and everything, and these two kids are basically being sent to live with this lady. And she's a witch who is doing witchcraft via like a correspondence school, and that is Angela Lansbury. And you need to watch Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Great film. I don't actually know how that one rated on the Rotten Tomatoes.
It's certainly a classic.
Yes, it is. It is. But I think it's one of those hidden gem classics because.
Definitely.
Like you said, you haven't even seen it. Yeah, and it's 65 and 74 on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's not poorly rated, but it's in that area where it could fall between the cracks, I think.
Definitely.
So anyway, go watch Bedknobs and Broomsticks. What else did you have in your hidden gems? Because I think, honestly, the flops was so hard to do, but hidden gems is fun to me.
Have you ever seen Flight of the Navigator?
I have many, many years ago.
I love that movie. How to describe Flight of the Navigator? That is a weird movie. It's a little bit scary, a little bit of a creepy kind of at the beginning. Like, it's really hard to explain. It's just, it's very good. I love it. And Paul Rubens is the voice of basically the spaceship. And he is fully, it might as well be Pee-wee Herman. Is the voice of the spaceship. Like, He is fully in Pee-wee mode, but man, it is just like very adventurous. It's funny. It's a little bit, you know, kind of a caper a little bit at the beginning. It's got a little bit of kind of espionage at the beginning. Like it's very good. It's a very good movie. And I definitely think that it is a hidden gem, because I cannot imagine a lot of people have seen Flight of the Navigator in recent years, at least.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of it. Because again, I haven't seen it in quite a while, and it's one of those things where, given that I have access to Disney Plus, I should probably go watch it again.
I definitely think you should.
You know, when I'm not having to watch Frozen 2 for the umpteenth time because my child has to watch that movie once a day right now, which is great.
Mm, yeah, I'm on two or three times a day.
You're currently working from home. I am not. I'm not saying that she doesn't watch it two or three times a day. I only have to see it like once a day. You know, I try to sprinkle in some trolls and whatever else that we can get to lessen it, because that's a lot. And that's where most of my TV goes. So I don't know if I could get her to chill for Flight of the Navigator, but I'll give it a shot. So a movie that I will throw out that I will give to you is not, again, this one falls almost in the I'll be home for Christmas sort of a thing, because I will give you, it is probably not, no, not probably, it's not a great movie, but it's one that for whatever reason, I go back to again and again. And I think a lot of it is the music and nostalgia to an extent, and I don't think that's nostalgia to a specific time, just it's kind of like that well-worn pair of shoes that you have, you know what I'm saying, the ones that fit right, and they just, everything works about them, and maybe they're a little bit past their prime, but you still like they you can just go to them, you don't have to think about it, which is a great way to convince you to watch a movie, a goofy movie.
This was going to be my last one.
Oh, well, there you go. Then that makes it really easy. So, yeah.
No
so,
convincing I mean, necessary. Also, love a goofy movie.
And now, they had the follow-up to that, which was the totally goofy movie.
It was an extremely goofy movie.
An extremely goofy. I knew it was some qualifier.
A tubular... silly yes. goof move
right
Beal.
No, I think that's Meet the Deedles or whatever, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, this is not a cinematic masterpiece, but it's a fun story.
I disagree with that. I think
that it's not that it's a cinematic masterpiece
is, well, I okay, so if you are literally saying it's not a masterpiece, then yeah, no, it's not. It's certainly not a masterpiece. But
it's a good movie.
It's a very good movie, and I think it gets short shrift because it's goofy. I mean, the writing in a goofy movie, it is genuinely funny, and the jokes are really good. The father-son dynamic is really good. There are some genuinely heartfelt moments in that movie. And I think the writing is just much better than that movie gets credit for.
I mean, I'm not gonna argue with you on this, because I enjoy this movie, you know, and it's so weird, but it's so weird to me because, you know, I go look at the reviews, and like the little one liner on Rotten Tomatoes is, a goofy movie offers enough of its titular ingredient to satisfy younger viewers, even if most parents will agree that this beloved character deserves better.
No!
What does Goofy deserve that
what?
Would be better than this?
He got his own movie.
Well, he and Max got their own movie, right?
Well, sure.
So
the Goof
but,
family.
But what was Goofy going to get that was going to be better than this? Like, the music is instantly recognizable to me.
You have a Prince Michael Jackson mashup of a singer. that makes Princey Michael Jackson-y movie or music.
Yeah. What is, who is that? Is it Tevin?
That's Powerline, bro.
Well, okay, the character is Powerline, but I'm talking about the actual singer.
It's Powerline. Powerline okay, so, as himself.
So Powerline as Powerline in the movie Powerline. But yeah, and just the way that the Tevin Campbell is who that is. Thank you, internet, as I'm hemming and hawing trying to get there. I will totally cop to that.
Just trust your friend.
Yes, that told me it was Powerline. And just like the not I, and here's the thing. I think as an adult, that fits really well with the parental dynamic, you know, and I will confess that, you know, my child is not yet 2 years old. So I'm not going to know exactly what it's like to deal with a teenager at this point, right? But I see goofy side of things, maybe not even with my own kid, but with other kids, right?
And you can imagine what it would be like to have a high dad soup moment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because I feel that connection with my daughter. And honestly, some part of me aches knowing that there will be a time when the high dad soup moment will come in my own life, right? Because I had it happen in my life. But the thing is, you know, when I was younger and I watched this movie, I understood it more from Max's perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it actually did an okay job of, it did a good job, not an okay job. It did a good job of showing things from a kid's perspective as well. So yeah, I think this is a good movie. And again, like, it fell under Hidden Gem, but quite honestly, it could also, you know, you could just as easily put this one in the flop category.
I think it much like Emperor's New Groove kind of just got lost in the sea of movies, and it didn't deserve that. It deserved better, much like Goofy.
Yeah. So anyway, a Goofy movie. I don't know how to respond to that, because I still don't get what point they're trying to
make. I don't know. Anyway, Goofy got his own dang movie, and it's really good. And I honestly think Donald Duck would be jealous of Goofy's Goofy movie, because I don't think Donald has been in a movie that's as good as Goofy movie is.
Okay, yeah, as good as, I'm like, he's been in a movie, but yeah, not. Okay, here's the thing. The movie that we ended on, a Goofy movie, is the movie we should have started on, because Rotten Tomatoes, 59%. That's flop range for the critics, right? Box office, 35,348. So of all the movies, that made the least. Now, they don't tell me how much it cost to make, but that's not a great showing in the box office. So there you go. Goofy movie is a flop that Jeremy and I both love. You're going to love it too. We guarantee it. And if you don't, and it's not there in 30 minutes or less, your pizza's free. Oh, wait, that's not a thing anymore, is it?
Email Brad about that free pizza.
Email Brad at Jeremy said it was going to be a thing at missingthemouse.co. And if it bounces back, Jeremy is trying to avoid you.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.